Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew.
They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. Happy holidays to everyone as we get ready to close another year. And no other way than just to reflect on what 2021 has brought us, some of the ups, downs, and in-betweens, as well as some expectations for 2022. Just so many things to talk about, so little time to do it in. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith, My Eye Messenger, Garland Journal, and Texas Metro News. No excuse for the news because we got it all right here. I hope everyone had a safe Christmas and enjoying this holiday season. This is the last Sunday of 2021, and we'll go through some things, go through some top stories, find out what was big in your life in 2021. Again, this is our thing to let you know how much we care about your participation, and we want you to share with the world what is going on in your life. So we're going to bring in here very shortly the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, feeling like new money. Keep your little lemon water close. That'll help. And we'll take it from there. Goggle some aspirin, whatever you got to do. But we're going to bring you in and see what you got. Let's bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, one of the world famous, Triple H himself, Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Wiggy. How are you today?
All right, Barry. Should I back up? Should I back up and say Barry White?
Hey, let's do it. Let's do it. Make us our own little Christmas music compilation right quick.
None other. Well, look, practice with your priest. Oh, boy. Ah.
But
did you get some good stocking stuffers?
Oh, man, the best stocking stuffer I could have ever had was getting to spend time with both of my children while they were in town before they did a little small road trip for Christmas, man. That was the best stocking stuffer ever for me this year, Andrew, because they come into town separately a lot, but to have them both in town at the same time, and it's usually such a small window, that was the best stocking stuffer I could have ever had.
Well, good. I feel great too. With guests coming in from all around, and me being a guest and at other places, and just I have a 50% rule too going on. One stayed in Miami, and the other came here. So it's kind of mixed, and it's a lot of firsts for parents, especially if you have kids in school. You know,
right.
Every year. They've been here for Christmas, and I guess this is a precursor to what life has to offer.
hey, Andrew, you know, you're just slightly ahead of me on that scale, but you're at the point where, you know, they're going to start coming with other people that, you know, they've been with. So that's a whole other different aspect of it that's on your plate that's not on mine quite just yet, but it's there. So,
oh yeah,
I can relate with that.
Last Christmas we did have some guests, short lived, but you know what, Harold, it's good to see the things that we presented to our families now being presented to us. So that's just good old evolution.
That's right.
And I always like to take one thing about a circle, where it starts is where it ends. So it's going round and round. So I'm prepared for that, and probably I hope not in the near future, but in the future, son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandkids.
Right. You see how slow I tipped up to that, right?
Right. But it's reality.
We don't want to rush them into nothing.
It's reality.
Yeah, we
were.
But that's right. That's true.
It's amazing that you talk about it. You had asked me 10, 15 years ago, I would have never. Look, I'm going to go real ethnic for a minute. I know, Cheryl, Communication 101. Who would have thunk it? And that's where I am with that. But it's a good feeling.
Hey.
The kind of. Go along with these birthdays.
Yeah. But real quick, Andrew, speaking of our leader, I reached out to her last week before, you know, my week just got so busy and changed. And I'm going to let her know that I didn't forget. I just tell her this week here was something special, boy. But I did get in, reach out in touch with her last week.
All right. Well, you know what? She's always waiting on you to reach out some more, so go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And,
I know she made that real clear, real crystal clear.
So, Crystal, get a bottle of Windex just to see your reflection, to keep your reflection in the
right. You got to put something behind it, boy. It's going to come back at you. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there right quick. But, Andrew, what you got for us today, sir?
Oh, man, we're going to talk about some we want the audience to participate a lot and tell us what their top stories were for 2021. We'll go over some of the top deaths in this year as well. You know, I always think about old Hank Aaron, one of my favorites of all time, because I was a baseball player and Hank was hitting home runs when I was coming up. So I did my best to follow Hank. And I was putting him over the fence, too, back in the day. And that started my passion for baseball, for those who know me extremely well, how much I love the game of baseball. But it's going to be a show. We want you to participate. It's the last show of the year for the World
Recording. That's a blessing right there within itself, didn't it? That we've made it through another year. It's so-called normal.
That's right.
Through it.
Whatever normal means. However.
That's right.
You know, to go into 2022 with bells and whistles, with optimism that things will get better in this country. You know, I think about what happened last year at the top of the year on January 6th with the insurrection.
Ooh.
What a way, you know, coming out of an election. Over a year this time, some people were not having it, still not wanting it. People have changed. Look, they've changed in the phone booth. They go in as Clark Kent. They didn't come out as Superman or Superwoman. We don't know what they came out to be. But those are the things that we encountered last year this time. And we'll talk about that. But again, I mentioned always read your African-American newspapers. Texas Metro News is reminding us of the first day of Kwanzaa. And I will go through that a little bit. We got to make sure we can make things a little bigger, a little brighter on this side. Before I even go into it, I'm not going to even try to touch it right now.
All right.
Look,
now, hey,
no,
man,
I'm
speaking
good.
Of that, man, I don't know about you, but I sure miss the way we used to get together at the Fair Park and do the Kwanzaa Fest, man. It was more than just awareness of what was going on with Kwanzaa. It was such a great time to highlight some black businesses as well as, like, you know, get the history of Kwanzaa and what it truly is to apply those principles year round. So I really miss that, man. And I can't wait till we get to do like that again.
Well, the 7 days of Kwanzaa, of course, we start out with Umanja, and please forgive me. I know Cheryl's listening. I would love for her to come on and just rip that out for me right quick, and as we celebrate the first day of Kwanzaa, and then we're gonna slap it hard, Era. We got to slap it hard. But she's getting her radio voice together. She's me. She's getting it together for us. So we'll go through that. You know, please. She have these e-blasts that come out every day. Please just get on board with Texas Metro News. As Dr. Freddie Haynes is always saying, we buy black. He's Dr. Freddie Haynes of Friendship West Baptist Church recently announced 100 days of buying black to acknowledge the 100th commemoration of the Tulsa race massacre. The 100 days began in September of this year, September 23rd to be exact, and will run through the end of the year, December 31st, 2021. In the call, Friendship West is committed to economic justice and supporting black-owned businesses, advocating for just lending practices, and working towards comprehensive sustainability community within the community and development. You can find a lot of this on Friendship West Baptist Church, FWBC, Facebook page, just to keep up with everything.
If you want me to, Andrew, I can attempt to go through and pronounce these seven principles of Kwanzaa and tell what they're about right quick. Man, you know, you might have to help me out as well, but I can run through that right quick for you.
Well, go ahead. You see, I'm a little stopped up, but.
She's going to be so smooth. She'll clean it up for both of us, man. That's the kind of confidence I have in her. So when we get her, she's just going to back clean up for all of us. But as you mentioned, you know, the first one is Umoja, and that's for unity. Then it's Kuji Chagulia. Self-determination, UJIMA, collective work and responsibility. That's one that we need to definitely work on year-round. Then you have UJAMA, cooperative economics, NIA, which is one of my favorite ones, man, because I know, you know, in our community, a lot of people were using that for names for young ladies and stuff. I really like that. Well, NIA is purpose. Kwamba is creativity. And the last one is Imani, or faith, which is another beautiful name that you know a lot of our people have attached names and given to their children. But those are the seven principles. We need to learn more about them. And if we could apply them not just during this season, but year-round, man, just imagine where we can continue to grow and be.
Right, right. And again, Kwanzaa is just an annual celebration of African-American culture. It's held December 6th through January 1st. So, you know, and read a little bit about the history, folks, and find out how it started. It was created in 1966. You know, little known black history fact. And as Harold mentioned before, he gave you the seven principles. 7 days. And we'll let Cheryl speak on that. I remember she was on Channel 8 last year talking about Kwanzaa Fest. And I don't know, Harold, I think I was playing hooky from work. And I turned on the news. I think it was the 9 o'clock. And look if I see on the news. I said, boy, hey. What a way to work. Better than any coffee I had ever drank. That early in the morning. But
yes.
Again,
yes.
We'll go through the pronunciations, but they look at unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. Those are the translations, and then we'll get you with the proper terminology as we go through the show. But those are some things that we need to know. Harold, this year I'm going to start out with one of the biggest things that just brought me to light with myself was that that Juneteenth was created, not only created, but it was recognized as a federal holiday.
Yeah, that is a huge holiday. That's very huge.
That was just absolutely outstanding. And some people still didn't want to recognize it. But I feel like this. You may not recognize it, But that bank was closed that day. When the bank is closed, something really is going on. And if you didn't get a chance in 2021, it's going to be something going on in 2022 on Juneteenth. Not the 16th, I found out. Not the 17th, 18th, but the 19th. You know, that's still my best story, Harold, about first moving to Texas. Juneteenth.
Right,
not
knowing what day it was.
Oh,
right.
Mama, what is Juneteenth? It's not the 15th, because I moved here like the 14th, 15th. I know we left for Dallas on about the 13th and 14th, and I got here on about the 15th. Determined. And that's my best story I could ever tell you, Harold, about getting out of here. My whole family was excited about me moving to Dallas. As time drew near, everybody backed out. But who always got your back? Mama. Mama was hot as fish grease. Out of a 13-hour drive, no, actually more than that, it was about a 15-hour drive, in a truck, pulling my car. Mama, 1 hour. 1 hour. They told me, I don't care how tired you are, time for you to drive again. I'll never forget it. But I was so driven to get out here, not knowing what the future could hold. Just wanted to start my life and get things done, and I was just so grateful that I had the opportunity and the parents' support to move.
Right.
I was supposed to be out here for years, 30-plus years ago. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I wasn't gonna make you remind us how many years it was, but I knew it was around that time.
And probably lived here, I can't say probably, lived here longer than I've lived anywhere. But home is home. Home is home.
Right.
I know where the greens look, know where to find the greens in my granddaddy's backyard. That's home.
Mm-hmm.
But we waiting on Cheryl. Let's see if she enjoying her holidays there. She probably have her mimosa.
That's fine. She's earned all of that. All of that.
Well, I tell you, Harold, the good thing about today is that we're moving in the right direction.
Right.
We may not have
and
everything.
We can always, if you want, we can throw out a couple of the significant losses. Like you say, one of the great gains was that after all the culmination of all the work, we got Juneteenth, not just recognized, but, I mean, on a national level. I mean, some people here in Texas probably don't even realize the expansive accomplishment that is, man. I mean, it's not just recognized here. It's nationwide. That's saying something there, man. That's really saying something. But we can go over some losses that we had if you want to go through that.
Yeah.
Some events, period, that we all had to have, that we happen to have this year. It's so many.
Right.
Where do you want to start?
Right. But you know what? Here's another thing. Let me add this caveat to it. One of being, you know, you're so happy for the holidays, but we know we lose. You sit back and reflect like we're doing now on the year that has passed. Some of the ups, downs, and pains associated with it. But I think it's a blessing in itself. Eventually, this will never happen with us again. But until then, we can just continue to push in the right direction and make a difference in the lives of the people that we come in contact with. That's what I've always wanted to do. And I'm glad I was afforded the opportunity to be able to do this. So if you are ready, you can mix in a couple of things with you do the deaths. I could just throw one thing in.
One of my biggest, man, was Colin Powell, man.
Okay.
Losing Colin Powell this year was a big event in my life. I mean, because I just reminded me of the pride that I had even when I was an active enlisted member in the military, man. You didn't have to be in or from the same branch that he was, but the respect that he was given, it was because he had earned it, man. And everybody that's any kind of military person knows that. And so to see him rise to the level at which he did, and even after his military time, man, that was just so much pride instilled. And not just me, but I mean a lot of my people that I know up close and personal. He transcended race lines, gender lines, you name it. Colin Powell represented everybody, man. And I have to admit, sometimes his politics may not have lined up with mine, but at the end of the day, he was a true conservative. And at the end of his career, if anybody can recall that, he made that very clear, that just because I'm in your panel don't mean I'm going to agree with everything that you have going on. And that even became even more evident after he got out of office with that next Republican regime that came. He joined hands with the Bushes and saying that this guy is going too far. So, I mean, the guy just demanded respect. He should receive as much of the accolades that he did receive while he was alive. And it'd be hard-pressed for me to even listen to somebody talk bad about him after he's gone. But that's my biggest one on a loss, you know, as far as, you know, celebrity-wise, you know what I mean, that level of that just national, international prominence. It would definitely have to be Colin Powell. And that's that. That's one.
Yeah. Another one, you know, I love the sports end. Now, I tell you, it's a lot. I'm trying to make sure I get this right. But Natalie Nacelle, she played Niecy in Baff. You know, a lot of people didn't like Baff, but I love Baff, man. It was too fun.
I did, too. You had to kind of look at the inside story behind Baff. Yeah, it was some comedy, but it was a lot of story in there, Andrew. I liked it. I liked that movie, even when it first came out. I liked that. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, just, and I think about that movie. She also was in Bill Bellamy's movie, How to Be a Player, or something like that, one of those movies. It was just
She was
amazing.
The sister, yeah. I remember that.
And she was in Eve. I was trying to think of everything that she was in. And just a young lady. That made a smile on the screen. And we think about, let's not forget about Black Panther. What a year. And Chadwick.
Yes, you can't leave him off. You can't leave him off.
You know, of what went on. And actually, kind of at the end, but you just think about just the influx of the influence that he had. I know he died last year in 2020. But still, you look at the movies. His spirit is still alive with Thurgood Marshall, Jackie Robinson, and those movies are constantly coming on. And you know, it's again how the motion picture business can preserve these cultures and these skills and talents that we feel like, you know, they're not there. Of course, we know that, but still, we continue to live on with through our memory of what they've accomplished on the screen. So, a lot of that. Let me add this: as we look at deaths, we're going to try to mix it all in. I think this year was the year for Black colleges. Harold, the notoriety has increased in our historically Black colleges and universities. Another one just being the fact of the government passing money for some of these land-grant schools to be able to take away some debt with the kids. So, you know, Harold, you and I always talk about how if it wasn't for some of these Bishop colleges or these Texas colleges, Paul Quinn of the world, a lot of our parents would not have made it. they came up in a more segregated society than we did. But they had the fortitude of support of their parents to go on and go the extra mile to make a difference in the lives of people that they came in contact with. Those are the things that we're most proud of. And all the HBCUs, over 101 of them, this is a whole, we think about 50, but they have some community colleges as well that are shaping lives of many of our students. It used to be just us, but a lot of different cultures have enrolled in our historically black colleges and universities. And they're finding out, Harold, it's no joke on that end either.
That's right.
We see integrity of academia, the competition. I always said my greatest thing out of FAMU was knowing that I thought nobody from the small city had more sense than I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out, and I'll always give one of Cheryl Sarraz, the greatest credit in the world, a young lady named Candy Walls, pushed me. Because I was thinking, hey, I'm from a big city. She, no way she should know what I know. If she had a 97, I was going to have a 98, 99 next. I wasn't going to miss a thing. But those are the competitions that we had within the classroom, which a lot of kids, they don't even talk now, Harold. They just go in, do what they got to do, and walk out. But we all came in as freshmen. And Harold didn't have the conveniences of a television. Well, you had a television. They just didn't have no stations. You had to put the aluminum foil on the TV just to get a signal at night. So we didn't have the exposure or the opportunity to see the world like the kids do now through their phones, television, you name it. Life was so simple, and we learned to depend on each other a little bit more. But now with all the advances, we're just passing it like two ships in the sea, right by each other. But I wish with those days will return, where we can be dependent upon each other, knowing that these voting rights that are going, trying to pull them from you, that over 50 years ago, Meemaw and Big Mama had to pay to vote. And you can't even, we don't even have a poll tax, and we still don't vote. Folks, I was going to get here. We got to make a difference. We must make a difference. So, again, so much, Harold, over the year or so where people still, even in their absence, still influence the way we're thinking today.
Oh, yeah. Something that I shared with my family, man. It's something, man. It's a beautiful thing to be able to look back on memories. But it's also important to remember to live in the moment, because you are creating those same memories for tomorrow. You are creating them today. So I try not to get so caught up in remembering and embellishing our good memories or whatever memory they are. We have to remember the moments we're in right now will be our children's memories. So you want them to be able to live in the moment as well. And that's one thing that I've been trying to enforce in mind. And that's just a beautiful thing. Like you said a while ago, it's the circle of life, man. Life is beautiful. It's just depending on your perspective and how you look at it. Don't mean it's going to be easy, but it's all about perspective, man. It's all about perspective.
And perseverance.
All of that.
But I'm still waiting on the boss lady to see if she want to chime in. She probably just chilling with some mimosa, celebrating.
You sounded like you got a little hater in your voice, but you keep bringing up them mimosas, man. You need to go mix you up one. As a matter of fact, it's six in those. Let me see if I have the ingredients. I'm just joking, man.
No, I'm going to stick with my tea this morning.
Okay. Okay.
Chilling with the bricks.
Speaking of tea, I've never been a big warm drinker anyway, but teas are good for health and building immunity. There's so many different teas that are out here now. They have these immunity teas. You can look into things that will help build your immune system. You know, we've always associated coffee with caffeine, but there's different coffees and warm brews you can do to build your immunity as well. And I'm just sitting here going through some things now, Andrew. It's a lot of stuff out here, man. Are you familiar with the whole emergency brand?
No, I'm not.
And I used to, man. They got so many variants of that now. You know, you could get the emergency. It used to be you could put a package of it, man, with some water, and you get you a good boost of just vitamin C. Now they doing it with elderberry. They doing it with so many different stuff, man. It's just amazing. They trying to make it easier, I guess, to boost your immune system if you're not already eating right. But there's a lot of choices that we can go to other than going to medication is what I'm trying to.
Right. And a lot of do an alternative.
So,
you know, my
always, if you got
right.
to take
my,
your
my
blood
only thing, do what's best for yourself.
Yes.
Alternatives are best. But if you feel it's not working, please go seek the help of the professional.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Don't stop taking your blood pressure medicine just because so-and-so told you this is what they doing for their blood pressure. You better wait till you
right.
see if it's working for you before you just start jumping
well,
on
what
stuff.
What's not helping? They're taking their blood pressure medicine with that stuff. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, they won't tell it all to you. But
ever tell it all, Andrew? You know what I mean? Do they ever tell it all?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like some of my weight struggle with people, man. They like, well, you just really losing weight. What you doing? Eating better and exercise. Well, look at what you eating. That ain't eating better. Did you not hear me say I'm eating better and exercising? That's a step in the right direction. Don't start telling me what to not eat. I'm gonna eat what I want to do. don't jump in here too quick. But that's the way it is, man. They missed that part about and exercise. You know, you can't just eat what you want to eat. You got to exercise. You know. So,
well, for me, what a lot of people exercise, Harold. I have a lot of people that exercise. I think with the remote control.
That finger exercise, huh? That thumb, and take a little more than that. But anyway, whatever works for them. Well, flow state boat.
Right. What other celebrities you got on your list?
Oh man, you gonna make me do some more homework here, huh?
Yes, sir.
But, man, you just the fact that you touched on Bozeman, man, you know, we've had a lot of things that have come out. Like you said, he may not have passed this past year, but a lot of these new shows that are coming out and how he affected actors and people that are directing movies and just putting little quiet, subtle things in to pay homage to him, I think that is an attestment to the fact that no one really knew his health struggles until the very end, and some even after he was gone. And I think that's just such an attestment to him as a person. You know, nowadays we see somebody, you know, dealing with something, we want to get behind him and help him, but he never was the type of person that wanted to put attention on himself. He always was a giving person, and now you're starting to see how it's manifested in the people that he touched. And I think that's when you brought that up earlier, man, that's just was such a his legacy is just amazing. But give me a minute, and I'm sitting back down now because I was moving around trying to make me some breakfast. But give me a minute, I'll get you some more because I have.
All right. But as he goes through that, I tell you again, as we celebrate coming to the end of another year, it's been a roller coaster, truly a roller coaster of ups, downs, and in-betweens. But if it wouldn't be for the ups, downs, and in-betweens, we wouldn't have nothing to follow up on, which is great. I can't tell you enough of if it wasn't for the ups, it wouldn't be any downs or vice versa. It's just amazing. But the thing is, you try to smooth it out the best that you can and live to see another day. Because you look at the politics, you look at the climate, you look at the people around you, you know, everybody doesn't have the quite, does not have the quite, excuse me, does not have the same agenda. I had two thoughts in my head. I apologize for that one. But, again, we just have to keep pushing. And for those who have kids, you know, I never would have thought I would be saying this, and I'll say it. It's, you never know who's watching. And if you have kids, at least try to set the best example that you can, that you know, because they're watching. And everything is not perfect on parents' side, but you do the best you can. Do what you think is right for your child. All right? I had to hear that lesson time and time again because you think differently. You just want the best, and you want them to flourish. You want them to just be the best that they can be. But sometimes you think about how we came up. We had to bump our heads a few times to realize, hey, this is not the right move for you, or this is not what's in the best interest, you know, things of that nature. Or think about the people around you that are dealing with that as well. So I just think about everything this time of year. I go back, you know, prior to Christmas, you think about the loved ones that were in your life, some of the things that you were doing as a child. I could always remember it was so tenseful at my house during the holidays because whenever the phone would ring, well, you know, y'all had that big old, I guess, Southwestern Bell phone out here. We had GE in Florida. When that phone would ring and everybody would just stop and just wait to see if it's good news or bad news with the anticipation of not knowing what was going on. That seemed to always happen during the holidays, which made it very tough, very tough. But then again, you know, my mom was her and Dr. Smith were always the one they called in. They didn't call the ambulance. They would call our house. Mom would be going out checking on folks, and, you know, you, Mom, whatever. I don't want to spoil your holiday. So when she said that, Harold, we knew it was something bad. You know, I don't want to spoil your holiday. But that was just part of my fabric coming up. So I think about that all the time. And I'm sure you all have certain Christmas or holiday thoughts every year. The people that were in your life, people that are in your life, and people that are currently in your life, you think about them as well. So it's bittersweet.
Hey, Andrew, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention that we lost Cicely Tyson. It was way back in January of 2021. But man, I mean, we all know from my era, she's been acting and playing old people for so long, we forgot that she actually was a young lady when she was starring in some of those movies and playing. She was always like she had the senior wisdom type roles, if you know what I'm talking about. It just always seemed that bad. She's such a great actress, but yeah, we lost her this year.
Yeah. And I'm trying to check. I think recently, Desmond Tutu.
Oh, like yesterday. Forget that one. I mean, if it wasn't yesterday's day, I mean, it's like real recently. We lost
Very recent.
Tutu. Yeah. It's like if you just go through Hollywood.
But you know, it looks like it's in her own way, she had that class, man. See?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to share what my grandfather used to do. When she played that role with Jane Pippen, she played that thing. She played it.
Yes. Yes, she did. Yes, she did, man.
Well, I love the way Tyler kind of kept her going, kept her mystique-ness.
That's right.
That's a word. I know Cheryl's going to probably put that in Google.
She played every role that she was given. She put it into that like that, Andrew. I mean, if you think back, all of her roles, she did that. You know, it was just an amazing career. Sometimes when we're witnessing greatness, we don't even understand it or appreciate it, you know?
Right.
Witnessing greatness.
Yeah, but she did some great things, great things. You look at the comedian. I think he died this year. So my resources are getting all twisted up a little bit. A.J. Johnson from Friday. I mean, we've lost some folks. Lost several folks in this rat race that we're running. But I tell you, the advice that I would give to a lot of kids, a lot of people that are listening, you know, live today like it's no tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And let yesterday be in the past. That's all. Look, even if you didn't have, it's going to happen that way anyway.
That's
so don't
right.
worry about it. Let's just enjoy today. And then when tomorrow gets here, we'll work at that moment. So, I mean, I try to go by that. Sometimes, Harold, we think about tomorrow so much that we can't enjoy today.
That's right. That's exactly what I was trying to say earlier. Just put it a little more eloquently there. You have to, man. If you don't, man, you'll look around and be living and just have regret of what you should have, could have, would have, and all that other kind of stuff. So, yeah, you have to, you know, you don't want to just be out here free willy-nilly, but you have to enjoy yourself as we go through this journey as well. You really do. And it's funny. It's just weird. That, like you were just saying, that guy there, he younger than both of us. The comedian from Friday, you know, born in 66.
Okay.
You know, and nobody's know. We always know this too, Andrew. None of us know the days that we'll be here. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that but whatever your supreme being is, and mine is God. But we have to be ready at any given time, man. But like you say, you must enjoy yourself along the way. And who you going to touch and what kind of legacy you going to leave behind. Those are the things
right.
you start thinking of when you get to our point in life, you know. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we just want those who are out here at the Blog Talk Lane is that we appreciate you, you know, being a part of our day and everything. But we want to hear some of the things, if you have some memorable moments in 2021, just press 1. And I like the way the board looks now, Harold. Look like you're raising your hand.
That's what, hey, let them in.
So
let
if you want to just share some of the good things that went on, even if you want to share bad or just want to share something.
You want to share some of your graduates, your high school or college grads, or like you, Andrew, always say, or kindergarten, whatever you got. Let's hear it.
So when I get twisted up, you know, I'm just thinking about family and friends, some that started this 2021 journey that did not make it with us. You know, I think I've surrounded myself with the best people in life. I got them on all ends of the spectrum. Some that give you that look, Harold, be able to give you that Pythagorean theorem, the theory of relativity. You know, I'm just coming out with stuff now, just crazy now. But then you got something to give you some good down home street talk, right down Ledbetter and Loop 12. Same street. You don't know, all can be all the way around. Always Pleasant Grove to Westmoreland. It doesn't matter.
That's
but
right.
It's all knowledge. All knowledge. So it's good to have a little street in you. So you'll be able to look. At least know where to find William's Chicken. That I do. With some gizzards. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, sorry. Got carried away. But let's go back, Harold. You know, we were talking about dates. I started out with the insurrection. Of course, leaving 2020
yeah.
to stir up with the elections. And then we had the insurrection on the 6th. Then on the 20th, history struck when we had the first African-American female to hold the highest second office in our country. And that would be Kamala Harris, the vice president. Let's give her a props. Kamala mm-hmm. Harris. Who would have thought that would have happened? You asked us 5 years ago, Harold, we couldn't see January 20th.
That's right.
History right here. When we're gone, you know what? Our kids may say, well, you know, my dad or my mom was around them when she became the vice president of these United States. Those are the things that we want our kids to take with us. And parents, sit down and talk with your kids about. If you don't know, do a little homework before you talk to them and see where their minds are. I don't think we do that enough. We happy to see them. I know I need to learn how to be a real cowboy in there, Harold. Give me a lasso and rope my kids so they can just be right at the end of the rope for a minute. I know it can't last forever.
Yeah.
But you want to just
don't have no choker chain. Hey, don't put no choker chain on it like we used to do for the big dogs, man. Get too far, you have to pull them back.
No, no. That's a different kind of love. You know, I wouldn't do anything to hurt them.
Yeah.
But I just want them still for a minute and just go into this generation, boy. I tell you, Harold, it's like running water without any walls. They just run. That's all they run. We at least, look, got captured in a cup or something. But we're learning.
Yeah.
It's the process of being parents today is learning. Go ahead.
Did you ever hear the saying when they used to ask, why is youth wasted on the young? They have all that energy. You just want it to be bridled and directed because they have so much energy.
They do.
But, you know, all you can do is just try to direct it in the right place, because if you try to bridle it too much, you don't want to put the fire out. You know, that's one of those balancing acts. You don't want to put the fire out. But what you show is you could just push the fire in a certain direction here and there. That's all. It's just that's where the artistry of parenting comes from, man. You know, knowing how much to nudge and where and what information you have to just be confident that you've already instilled in them. So,
oh, absolutely.
You gotta let it go, man. I know when I used to hear people saying that, why is, you know, youth was young. In my mind, you know, we were in their position then. We was like, because you didn't know what to do with it. I do, you know, that kind of mentality. But hey, I think they're gonna do great things, man. And to be honest with you, man, it's just so refreshing when I see some of the youth stand up in ways that they have stood up in this year. It's amazing, man. It's really amazing. It's not a loss. not at a loss. It's not all falling on deaf ears. You know, like, you know, me and you, we'll get to that point sometime. Like, wow, man, what's really happening? You know,
what we fail to realize, Harold, is that we were there too, and I'm sure our parents felt the same way.
We felt we knew, but you just want to
put them in a good position. And my folks too, we had our tussles. We really had our tussles about some things. But I tell you, I had some strong parents. I had a super strong mom. That's what it was. You know, you could fool the covenant time, but you couldn't fool all the time.
Those who know me know it's that same way.
I've been there, and what you're going through.
Yeah. You knew not to even come to him with certain stuff because you knew. You just knew. That's all I can say. You just knew.
But, Harold, I think these smartphones are decreasing some of the connections that we have or could have with our kids because they can Google up anything and everything. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you got your finger on the mute button. You want me to tell you what's really happening? We're walking around here with smartphones in our pocket, drinking smart water, and dumb as hell. That's really, you know, that's just what it is, Andrew. You know, they think they got it all in their pocket, and you very well may have access to information in your pocket. But what you gonna do with that information? It's still gonna take some action. Still gonna take some. I'm willing to stand up for right. You know, it's still gonna take some integrity, which is integrity in what you do when people aren't looking at you. You know, all those things can be replaced. And you know, and I always go back to that new math. I don't know if you can remember, man, but that new math is what people always used to blame for. Oh, that must be that new math. They always be the basis.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do when you think that no one's watching? That's integrity. Where's your integrity? You know, honesty is one thing. Honesty can be just because it looks like I might get caught. I might do the right thing. But what are you gonna do when you know no one is watching? That's where your integrity comes in place. You can't get that out of a book.
It's got to
be instilled from in there. And I hate to say it, parenting, because in my day, Andrew, I knew some single parent homes that the whole neighborhood was their parent or that opposite parent that was taken away for one reason or another. So it's just who's gonna step up and instill in the youth, because, Andrew, I hate to say it, but there are formative years for children. And if you don't get it in them at them formative years, that means... I've been fortunate enough to meet a young man later on in life. He shares this with me all the time. He said, man, prison saved my life. It showed me that what I was doing wasn't all that cool in the bigger scope of things, you know? So what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Right.
I notice I say we. What are we going to do?
Absolutely. Well, all we can do is go with what we know. I remember my parents saying it was always a trial for her. She didn't know if it was right or wrong, but hoping that they made the right decisions for the right outcome. Parents, it's a trial by trial and error. You know, you don't want
to. And at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
Yeah. But it's all there. Harold, hold that thought for a minute. Don't forget you can still get the Texas Metro blurb, you know, what's going on. You can email the editor at myimessenger.com to get on our e-blast that's going out every day. Cheryl does a great article on the black businesses, our superb woman this week of the day, excuse me, is Dominique Torres Williams, graduate of Skyline High School, went to Eastfield College, got a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science and Government from North Texas. Her JD, a Juris Doctorate from Texas A&M School of Law. And she's a member of the Black Law Student Association, Junior League of Dallas, served on the board of directors of the Rapid Transit of DART, known as DART, Sharing Life Community Outreach, Southeast Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, League of Women Voters. She's a clinic volunteer legal aid of Northwest Texas. And I was looking for something. I'm sure I will come back to it. I see her in red, so I don't know. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. But no, she is our superb woman of the day, Dominique Torres Williams. And don't forget, folks, that Realizing the Dream Healthy Living Expo is going to be on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the 17th, from 10 to 5, or here in Dallas, and we need to make sure that we it's going to be at the African-American Museum at 30, boy, the eyes get young, Harold, 35, 36. Of 33, well, whatever it is. You know, y'all know it's down in Fair Park. You got to get there. I tell you, if I blow it up any bigger, I won't be able to see it. It's like 3536 Grand Avenue. If you're not sure where Grand is also Al Lipscomb Way. You just drive right on into Fair Park. Look to the left. Yeah, from that gate, look to the left, and you see the African-American Museum on your right. So that's on Martin Luther King Day. It's a day of service, not a day of rest. And I challenge each of you to do something on that day. Normally, I get with Meals on Wheels and deliver meals to those individuals that are in need of their nutrition.
Speaking of Wheels on Meals, Andrew, they do that year-round. If someone wants to volunteer with That's done year-round. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there. I know that's your thing that you do on that day. But, you know, to empower others, there's things you can do year-round. Yeah.
And let us know. Let us know what's going on. We got some beautiful... and I say that because these two ladies are re-elect Stacey Williams for the 101st District Court, Daria Jacobs, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 4, looks like Place 2, Realizing the Dream. If you go online, you can find out. We have some information where you can get a booth. More elections. Valencia Nash, running for Justice of the Peace. Precinct 1, Place 2. Tammy Kemp. So just tune in. I mean, we have so much going on. Here's a Christmas gift to the jail. Dallas clergy posts $100,000 in bail for 9 incarcerated. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine if more people did that? And sometimes the brothers get into bail, the sisters do, and nobody's there to get them out. Nobody to get them out. They serve their time, and sometimes they feel as if that's a haven for them. And we don't ever want you to think that jail is a haven. But out here in this real world that we live in, some people feel safer inside than outside. And that's something to think about. There's a Miles J. Holiday, Legacy of Love Songs. You can, you know, if you get on the e-blast, you can get information where you could order. And you know what, Harold? even though it's the holidays, I love some of the Christmas songs and everything throughout the year. So it's a lot going on. A lot going on. Your health matters. January 15th, 2022. And then we'll celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday in January, Black History Month in February. And as we all we've done over the years, just give you tidbits of doing Black History. We'll talk about some of the great inventions that we are enjoying right now. Were created by people that look like us. We can do that. COVID, I don't care what year it's been, whether it's 20, 21, 22, numbers will probably go up even more. Folks, please be careful. Get your vaccination. A lot of people have lost their lives. I pray for everyone that they don't have to endure what my eyes see. And, you know, what people have gone through. It is just, it ain't pretty. Ain't pretty at all. So as it's about 13 minutes after the hour, we want you to share. Oh, we got plenty. All right, we got a Tampa number. Good morning. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Good morning. Belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right, same here.
Yeah, I'm about to head in the church youth Sunday, so I got a couple of minutes here. From what I caught, the part of it that I caught, what you guys was talking about, smartphones and smart water and, you know, walking around with the dumbest rocks. What's missing is that wisdom that is typically imparted to us by the generation prior to us. And it seems that we as a people have somehow lost a generation. And that wisdom that would typically be passed down is woefully lacking in a lot of instances. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we're facing is dealing with that. You know, we had, you know, family members that may have not necessarily had a formal education, but they had more sense on accident than we ever had on purpose because of what they had experienced in life. And they were able to impart that to us. And that's woefully lacking. That's woefully lacking now. And I think that's why it's very important that, you know, whatever circle you can touch, that you really, you know, because you never know what kind of difference that's making in somebody's life and what they're missing at home that you might be able to help fill in that gap. And I think to even magnify it even more, what's going on with COVID these last couple of years and churches not being able to meet, then you're also missing that element because the ones who may have been lacking some of that at home, they may have been able to pick it up at church meeting, you know, with the particular youth groups and that kind of thing. So you throw all of that in the mix, and we got a real dilemma because there's just an element of society, particularly ours, that's missing that. And it's just going to get worse and worse unless we can find some kind of way to reach these people and to help them turn it around. I became a parent at a young age, but I had my mom and my aunties and that generation ahead of me to pour into me and to help me, you know, with my first child. And in those early years, even when I moved to the city I live in, I had an auntie, you know, so all that made a difference while I was stumbling and bumbling along trying to become, you know, the best parent that I could be. I had the help of the previous generation. And some of these kids now, when they become parents at early age, the one before them was parents at an early age, and or either they're missing somebody that's incarcerated or locked up. So there's just a element of wisdom that used to always be passed down and a sincere appreciation of the previous generation that we enjoyed that I think somehow is lacking and missing. And that's what we got to somehow find a way to get that back. And I'll get ready to mute Wiggum, and I listen as long as I can. I'm getting ready to walk in church in about 5 minutes.
Real quick, Mark, when you get out of church, check your messenger from me because I'm on round two, so you know I'm gonna need some talking from you. So you check your messenger when you get out of church.
All right, it's Lonnie Harold.
Oh, Lonnie. Okay. Yeah. All right, that's the same thing. I'm gonna send it. I'm gonna make sure you get it too.
Okay.
All right.
You there, Drew?
Did we lose him?
I don't know. Did we lose him?
He might have took a break, but go ahead.
Yeah,
well,
I'm on a mute.
Here he comes
back. Harold,
I'm gonna stand in there for him.
Yeah, you got to stand in for him because
really
I'm here. Like I said, I'm getting ready to walk in.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, we're just talking about some great losses and gains of stuff and accomplishments that people had this year. So until he comes back, I'll keep it going.
Yeah, well, I never went anywhere. I was just listening to y'all. But look, Lonnie, thank you so much.
Well, thank God.
You know, thank you. No, I was right here. I just didn't say nothing. Being a great friend from a long time, Harold. Met him at FAMU freshman year, been friends over 40 years. Over 40 years. And so, you know, that's my ride or die. That's my ride or die down in Florida. So we thank you so much. Go ahead and pray for everybody for us. We appreciate that. And we're going to bring in Cheryl now. It's spinning. I'm trying to get to her. Cheryl, are you with me? We're going to try to work on that a little bit more. Trying to get it going a little bit. I think it's just spinning. Let me change providers here on our internet, and then it'll come in. All right, Miss Cheryl. All right, here we go. No more spinning. Cheryl, are you with us? Good morning.
Tabaragani.
Oh, yeah. Right with you. Yes, ma'am. Let me
And that's what's the word, and the word today is umoja.
Umoja. Okay.
Umoja. How's everyone?
Oh, great. We're all about unity today. All about unity.
Hey, where there is unity, there is strength.
Exactly.
When they can break us down and break us apart, you know, kind of like the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's it.
My baby trying to find me.
Right. Well, you know, when you think of the politics, Cheryl, and I was just listening to CNN and some other things out there, they were talking about Biggs up in West Virginia, how he may have the appearance of had the appearance of a mule. But then he's trying to be the elephant, too, in the room. I put it like so it's going to be quite interesting to inspire him soon. I know they're trying to wait for the midterm.
You're breaking up a little, Andrew.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I hear you got your own studio audience there.
Yes, she's chasing me. She got so many gifts, Skylar did. She people showered her with love, and I appreciate it. So very, very much. What you all have been talking about so much today in the past year, and it's been a rough ending to this year for me with a number of transitions, and we got to be excited about the future. If you can't be excited about the future, why are you living?
I totally agree.
And even though it's a little frustrating, we see things happening. We have to hold people accountable. We have to hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, now I don't know if I should call him Martin or Lonnie, but the brother who was on, who was walking into church. And, you know, we were more educated than our parents, a lot of us. And then we created a generation that for the first time in American history, our children were less educated than we were, because we got a little education, and then we started saying, oh, college ain't for everybody, when those who had never cracked open a book were trying to get us to go to college back in the day.
Right.
And all of a sudden we said, and we did not want our children to suffer like we did, and consequently we have created generations of entitled, inefficient, self-absorbed people who won't take care of us. You're going to see a trend, and you see more of us are going into facilities because they are saying, I ain't taking care of you. It's all about me.
Oh, yeah.
We created that. We are responsible for creating folks who don't. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we created a generation of young people who don't feel that bond, don't feel it necessary to take care of their elders. And, you know, frankly, I tell you, they don't have to take care of me, because I'm making sure that I will be taken care of, because I don't want to ask them for a darn thing, because they are so self-absorbed. But they came because we tried to make it easier for them, and that balance was not there. You know, and I know that people who came under my tutelage, I checked them, and they know better than to come at me with their sense of entitlement. But too often, we let it go, and we let our children, you know, I don't know if you know, and I could be speaking to the choir, and sometimes, you know, Andrew and I have had conversations, and others, about just how much we let these young people get away with, that, you know, I wish one of mine would have walked up with me and an adult spoke to them, and they couldn't get out their cell phone to speak.
Right.
But we had parents who let that happen. You know, or, you know, I had one time to tell my child to speak to one of my friends, associates, adults, or whatever. And I tell you, they'd have a story to tell generations long after I'm gone, because the memory that I give them from that disrespect, here comes
right
a little
there
bit.
On the spot.
It
right
would be,
the
they'd be telling people about that forever. They could do a TikTok video or whatever they want to, but they'd have a memory. They'd have a memory for a lifetime to tell people, when I didn't speak, this is what Cheryl Smith did to me. Because I would make it so miserable, it would probably be uncomfortable for them and for the person they should have spoke to. Because I know when I told the kids don't act up in school and had me have to come up there, and one of the teachers called me about Alana, and when they called me, I said, Do I need to come up there? And she said, please. By the time I left there, that woman was begging me to go. And
yeah,
I said, you know what? I said, I gave you an opportunity to handle it. You called me, so this is what you get.
Right.
And yes, I took a belt up there. And I used it.
Mm-hmm.
And funny, Alana came home and she said, yeah, she said some students were up there and they were calling you. She didn't say the word. She said they were calling you a B. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, what did they say to you when you called me that? Because I know she was probably right in there with them because she was totally embarrassed. But I told her, don't have me come up there because you know how to act. You know right from wrong. But I have some friends today that's where the line is drawn because their children are not like Andrew's children, which his children are adults. But Tom Jordan's two young men have never disrespected me, have always been attentive and respectful. And there are so many others. Joyce and Johnson, we had in Metro News last week, Amber Pickens. Amber starred in Law & Order SVU. And these are all young people that have come up, and there are so many others who respect, reverence, attentive. They, you know, they would never cuss in front of me. Now cussing has become a standard, and you see it even in social media. If I've seen two things, people don't mind their mom, or they don't say, oh, I'm not going to put that there because my mom or grandma may see it. So they cuss in social media. They not only do they cuss in social media and say anything that they want to say in social media, they dress in any kind of way, not saying, ooh, my grandma might see this. They don't even care. But we let them become like that. And so thank you, baby. So we have to accept responsibility for that. Now, this little one right here, she's getting away with so much stuff. But in a minute, and she'll be two. And, yeah, thank you, baby. She'll be two in January. And there's going to come a time when she's going to get that look. Yeah, I know. She's going to get that look. And that look is going to say, girl. And she's going to know that look. Yeah, girl, that's what you're going to get. But right now she gets anything she wants. Except I'm trying to get the phone away from her. But we can have that balance with our young people, with our children as we're teaching them. And I remember telling when my mother was living and she was at my home and we had oxygen. Take that out your mouth. Thank you. She put it right back in it. Please take it out. No. Yes, yeah, she's getting away with this, but she's getting ready. Thank you. Yay. She put it back in. Y'all want a little one for 2 months? But anyway, my mother was on oxygen. You have what now?
I'm trying to move forward. I ain't trying to go back for a minute.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know you, but my mother was on oxygen, and my mother spent several years smoking. And my mother smoked in the late 50s and early 60s. And then, you know, nicotine and all of that was a lot stronger. And there weren't all the warnings that we have today. And so when my sister and Alana, the oldest girl that I raised, they both smoked. And they couldn't smoke in my house, of course. But then I was talking to Alana, who had a five-year-old. I told her, I said, I'm taking care of mother. I said, but if this happens to you, what has happened to mother? She has COPD, and that's exacerbated, and you can talk about that medically, Andrew. But, you know, breathing and everything, there were commercials, and they say a woman was saying how she felt like an elephant was sitting on top of her chest. And I told Alana, I said, Alana, Aaliyah is not going to take care of you like I'm taking care of mother. I said, she's going to put you in a home somewhere, a facility, because she is going to say, you knew what you were doing, and these are the consequences. And they believe, even though these young people may not feel that they can, that they have to deal with the consequences, they're going to try to make you accountable. They don't care at work. They don't care how many days they miss, how late they are, whatever they do. They want their paycheck. They want you to be accountable, but they don't want to be accountable for what they do not do. And I told her, I said, she is going to say, I don't care what you do to get her through school and life, when you come up and need to be taken care of, she's going to put that responsibility back on you. Because that's what they are about. And that's what, even when you think, why, you got to think, why, when they want you so much, why do they want Bernie? We should have wanted Bernie Mac, but they wanted Bernie Sanders. They wanted Bernie Sanders because Bernie Sanders spoke their language. He knew that they are self-absorbed, and he played to their self-absorption by telling them, this is all about you. All he was talking about was making things better for them, and that's all they needed to hear. Somebody say it's all about me, I say it's all about me, and that's how they're living. So, you know, you look forward and you think about, what are you bringing into this world, and what you're equipping them with. You know, we could say, people could say, you could go back to when you took prayer out of school. People could also say, it went back to when you started giving trophies for participation. You tell me.
Wow.
You tell me.
But, you know, Cheryl, it's just, you know, you sparked on something, too, is just that our generation of caring, because we learn from them how to care for others. And my mother being in healthcare, I guess that led me. I didn't think I would follow in her footsteps. But just the way she cared, how people responded to her, and things of that nature, you know, you want to carry that lineage to the next level. And these people just don't get it. Like you said, they don't get it. It's cool to do what they do, you know, but you're young now, but wait till you're older. That coolness is going to be your downfall. And I wish we could just get into more heads about that. Because like you said, with that COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it's real. The people can't even walk three steps without being short of breath.
Mm-hmm.
Or not getting the right amount of oxygen in their bloodstream. All of that is real. And these kids, it's cool to smoke. And now the cost, what, $6, $6 to $10 a pack of
cannabis? Oh, gosh, it's unreal. But
know,
then guess what they're going to have to deal with? They're going to have to deal with those who are vaping, who do not realize their harms, even though we're telling them what vaping does. They're still doing it because it looks cool.
Right.
I think, uh-oh, she got a potty, so she's trying to strip to get on it.
But you know what,
boy.
Just try to lead by example and see what could really go over from that standpoint with these kids.
Well, you
know,
it starts with respect. It starts with respect and that basic foundation. And lots of times we just are not, we're not respecting. We're not sure. We're not letting them be respectful. We are not telling them, you know, leave that, you do not need that phone at the dinner table.
Right.
You ain't. I don't care who you are. You don't need it. If somebody's in the hospital and you want to hear from them, but we've been through that before. People didn't just start going to the hospital. Put the phones somewhere, but don't bring them to, put them close by, but don't bring them to the table. And don't sit up there using them when you have that family time or whatever.
Right.
You know,
well, a lot of people,
and like I, okay, wait a minute, baby.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you want to stop? I'm sorry, she's
yeah.
trying to potty.
Yeah. I hear
you. Go sit on the potty.
Yeah.
Go sit on the potty.
I'm going to play this tape for her. I'm going to play this tape for her when she gets older. Hey, Cheryl, put your business on the flat. But Cheryl, yeah. here's the thing, that as parents, you try to provide and do the best that you can for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand they're mavericks just like we were. But one thing I didn't do, and I did on my kids about
mm-hmm.
it.
Oh, when I
like
come to FAMU, when Carrington will find me, I did.
Oh.
Sit down,
well, see,
baby. Sit down. On the potty. Wait a minute. Oh, sit on the potty, baby, not the floor. Sit on the potty. Oh, boy, we get ready to have. Yeah, sit there. Yay.
See? Harold, we're having a life according to Cheryl. I tell you. Look, we're all having that shining moment. So when we see this child 10 years from now, we're going to let her know.
No, I'm not going to hold it against her because Cheryl coming on to bail you out and me out. So she's sharing an inside of what's going on in her home. She's planning on just listening. Am I right, Cheryl?
Hey, I was listening and enjoying it. And you call, but I'm like a child. And when you call, I come.
You come to the rescue.
You know, and I would like to, as this year comes to a close. I'm sorry, you have to forgive me, listening audience. I got a lot going on here. But as this year comes to an end, and we think about where we're going in the future and what we are going to do, you know, I had someone, two things. I asked somebody, why weren't they being vaccinated? They say, I don't want to. And that is a young person who we have been told we don't have to do anything we don't want to. We're not that young. And it's a shame because this is coming from somebody closer to 30 than they are being a teenager. But that's the culture. And that's what we have brought them up to be, to say, you know, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. And I said, give me a logical reason why you won't take the vaccine. I just don't want to do it. And so I asked, if I put the vaccine in a blunt, would you smoke it?
Woo, sure. I've been trying to hold out because I had this conversation this week. They don't know what's in them black and mild. They don't know what's in them Newport. They sure don't know what's in whatever they're eating from these restaurants, but they can say what they're not going to put in their body in a New York minute. You way younger
person,
than I went. I was going to go to the 30s. There's some in their 30s and 40s feeling that same way. So
yeah, well, she's 26, and it's like, you know, give me a logical reason. You know, this person, which, you know, we've heard people make an argument for talking about Tuskegee. They've never mentioned Tuskegee in their life before. And you know, and they're making all these different arguments. But I didn't even get that type of argument. I didn't get that type of argument at all. I just got, I don't want to. And I said, this is ridiculous. I said, and then I was talking to somebody. This is just, you know, when I think about the culture that we have put forth to deal with, and that why I say I don't want none of them taking care of me anyway, because I had a young person telling me, trying to explain to me how them smoking weed did not impact their child. And I said, whether it's the man or the woman, it gets in their semen and it gets in the woman's body. And I said, well, my children are smart. And I'm like, I said, really, you're going to make an argument for smoking weed during pregnancy? But that's the type of, we have made, they say a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and a little information is deadly. It is simply deadly. We have to get more education. We have to be sterner. That's why you have people who love teaching who say, I'm not going in the classroom anymore, because they give their all. And they're the ones who don't need to be teaching, the ones who couldn't get a job doing anything else, and so they went into teaching. But they're the ones who it's been their lifelong dream to teach. And they get in the classroom, and they have to put up with these disrespectful, entitled kids who you can't tell anything to. For the first time in a classroom in 2021, I told a student to Google me, because this student tried to check me. And I told her, and she was in a dual credit program, so that means she was going to college and in high school and going to college, so when she graduates, she'll have a degree, and you have an associate's degree. And so she was on, I said, excuse me, I said, how old are you? And she said, 15. And I said, 15. You know, I'm just thinking, and I rewinded in my mind what I was doing at 15. And if I would have had the nerve to tell a teacher then, and I said, and baby, I'm not a teacher. I am a professor. I said, that means, and I said, and you trying to get an associate's degree, you got to get two more degrees to reach where I am after you get the associate's degree. And you won't get the associate's degree she was a sophomore, so she won't get it for two more years. But I'm having to check her. And I said, and you need to know, you need to realize that there are people in a classroom trying to teach you who really care about you and want you to be successful. I happen to be one of them. I said, and you coming at me like I'm the enemy, if you're going to treat me like the enemy, you need to know who the enemy is so you can be armed. And I said, and I don't care how much arming you do, you ain't ready for this. Google me. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, it's, you know, what you have to deal with it when you, you know, when people have been told they could do anything and you don't have to, I don't have to respect anybody who don't respect me. I'm like, sit your butt down. Because we have told them that.
I think I'd have kind of lost it a little bit had I heard that. You like it,
amazing.
Yeah. But a lot can be said, Cheryl. A lot of these kids just don't get it. I know we were a little hard-headed as well, but the training and, you know, I'm glad I had some older people in my life. Because, you know, I really...
Older people are going to hold you accountable.
Right. And
if they're just going to talk about you.
Right.
If they're just going to talk about you, That's different. Right. If they gonna correct you, and if you know that there's possibly consequences and repercussions waiting at home for you, it's different. Now they don't feel like they have any consequences or repercussions, and they don't. Because their parents would try to make an excuse for them. And I don't know if either of you held, if y'all have run into these parents, you say something to the kid, the parents start answering.
Well, they realize they didn't do what they needed to do. But it's
no, I'm just saying, it's like, let them speak. Can you? And you say, hello, how old are you? And the parents say 16. And then you're like, okay, and you're looking at colleges, and the parent answers again, and you're like, can the child answer? I'm not asking them, you know, deep questions. I'm not asking them personal questions. And you find a lot of these parents will speak for their child. Maybe they're scared of what's going to come out of their mouth, but they need to let them learn.
I think that's it.
Whatever.
For those who are listening, well, welcome to the world according to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A on the last Sunday of 2021. And I know a lot of people have been wanting to get on. I mean, Cheryl has taken us places that we didn't think we were going this Sunday morning, which is good. I could work with that. But I can't do nothing but laugh. But let's get another call in right quick, Cheryl, while we're here.
Go for it.
All right. Welcome to the world according to you. What's going on in your world? 214-309. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, good.
Good morning, little brother.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to y'all. Hope everybody had a wonderful Merry Christmas.
Yes, yes. Look, we want to ask you, what was memorable in this 2021 for you?
Oh, 2021. Let me see. The most memorable thing for me this year. Oh, let me see. Because we had so much go on this year. To me, the biggest thing that I found, because I'm a veteran, I actually fought over there in that war. I really didn't appreciate the way we exited. Cost us a lot of money and a lot of pride, and this ain't the last of it. You just don't walk away from billions of dollars worth of equipment and think you're never going to hear or see it again.
Mm-hmm.
That same equipment that we left may come back to haunt us, because there's so many people that don't even have a clue as to what happened, why it happened, and who done what. Because we're so uneducated in America. We got a platform where we send everybody to school on this cookie-cut program, but they're not to know. And I see so many people who get 12 years of free education and don't even have the means to keep a checkbook balance or take care of themselves. So we are failing in a whole lot of ways. It's because of the way that America has changed and evolved and set things up. You know, I heard her speaking earlier about how her mom disciplined her. You know, they've made that against the law, basically, to discipline your child. I wish you would go to a school with a belt. You could see yourself hauled out of there in silver bracelets that you didn't want.
Right.
And
I like the way it's silver bracelets. Yeah. But was it a time where we had fear? Don't let me call your mama or your dad.
Man,
that was time to speak
my
up.
Entire life, even up until this point right now, I am more afraid of my mom than I am of any police or law enforcement authority.
Wow.
The discipline factor has been taken out of the family because of all the laws. And these children, they go to school and they spend more time with their friends and their so-called teachers than they do with their own family. So they're basically split down the middle, and they don't know who their loyalties are to. So therefore, we really don't have a family unit like we used to have where you are loyal to your family and then your neighbor comes next. That's why back in the day when we had the village way of raising children, things were different and we seen things different and we progressed different. It used to be a time that when a kid was turning 18 years old, that was like the rite of passage. I'm ready to move out my mom and dad's house. You were ready. It wasn't no like, oh, I'm 27 years old playing PlayStation, sitting on my mom's couch and not thinking about moving out. Back in my day, by the time you reached 18, you were ready to be 18 and have your own. It was called pride. These children don't know anything about that.
You're still right. You say the rite of passage. It was expected. You had to do something. Either you, the options of what we were coming up, military or go to college. Your choice. If you don't choose those two, then you might jump on to go find your place to live.
You got to do everything. By yourself.
It was kind of like mama bird throwing you out of the nest. Type thing. And it was a school of hard knocks, but we learned a lot. And, you know, like I said, certain choices you made, everyone had to decide on what was best for them at that time. And you got out.
That's right.
You got to school because you couldn't go to your grandmother's house because that's the way they raised. And that's how we feel now. But, you know, we don't want it. We want the best for our kids, too. And sometimes the school of hard knocks is what they need. I think we pray, it's Sunday morning. I can't say what I want to say. I try to at least respect Sunday morning. But some of us
can. But there's nothing like on the job training.
I'm going to say it like this. You know I'm a dresser up here. Some of us have a tendency to nurse longer than we need to nurse.
Way longer. Human beings nurse longer than any other species on the planet. I mean, we coddle is what I call it. Way too long. Way too much. And then you get parents like myself that I'm going to be as hard as I possibly can without breaking you because I need you to be able to function when I'm not around. And I ain't talking about functioning to where you're having to pick up a phone to call someone to help you. I need you to be the one that someone can call for help.
There you go.
And that's the way I've raised my children.
See, that's what we need more of because, again, the world doesn't care about our kids. We realize that.
Nope.
You have to go and have some type of armor on. It's just like when you talk about when war, they shouldn't send you out with a helmet and bulletproof vest and all of that. It's the preparation that you must have when you step out there. And hopefully the 12 years that they've received along with our tutelage, they're able to at least withstand the first run of everything. And then they gain and get stronger armor as they go. And there's so many similarities between the war part and life. You just have to keep moving and be able, when you get that challenge in front of you, to do what's best for you, and especially in the service, what's best for you and the company.
Well,
but
Andrew.
In this case, yes, ma'am. I'm listening.
Yeah, I'll just say real quickly, I think that those young men who are at Jackson State University playing football are getting what we were talking about. They're getting that from Coach Sanders, Coach Prime.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I think what he's doing for HBCU shouldn't be just lost on the university that he's working at as well, girl. I mean,
it's
I think
wonderful.
As a whole, can benefit from what's going on right there.
I just like the fact that he has other young students that are popular
looking at HBCUs now instead of going to the Ivy Leagues and the Big 12s and the Big 10 schools, because he just recently pulled another guy from another school to go to his school. Deion's a good coach, and I feel like he'll turn the program around and give the HBCU a different outlook as far as spoke, not as just a sports program, but as far as our education factor too, because we come out some of the smartest people in the world from the HBCU. Just don't get no credit, just like all the other stuff. When you start looking at, statistically speaking, at who's been the best at what, you can pick whatever you want to pick. The person that's going to be the best is going to look just like me.
Hey,
and that's just talk.
Hey, all I'm going to say is this, man. Cheryl, when you meet this guy that's talking right now, which you will, as soon as I can get on my feet and get you to him, you'll understand the story. Andrew probably didn't know who he was when he tweaked him in, but he know now.
Oh, yeah. But
we can just say hockey. Who's the best hockey player?
We need our brothers. Well, we need everybody, but we need our men to get out there and lead by example. Because oftentimes we – now, some moms have done great things out there. I can't say they haven't. But sometimes I think your boy still – I'm old school. Your boy need to see his daddy, his uncle, or somebody in his life and give him a male present. Because mom's going to always – that kids are left there. And you need that
thing. The thing is, Andrew, I'm going to speak for me. I had a very strong mother, but I had a dad too. But I just, man, black women are the strongest thing to me ever put on this planet. But I think as men, we have too often deferred and let them take the role because it ain't enough of us there, and that's not fair to them. They still
right.
can be strong, but we have to be strong too. We got to step up and have some courage, man. Now, I have to throw this out. I know it was a time when they would let the black woman do a little more to get away with it in public, at least, than they would us as far as learning and education. So I'm not discounting all of that because our ancestors did things the way that they had to do. And to be honest with
right.
you, a lot of people that's my age don't even know some of the history. But I'm saying strong black families should start with a strong man. And we just know it doesn't always happen that way. But when you don't, like what we're saying about what's going on down at Jackson State, some of these guys, they might not have never had a daddy or even a good coach that had their best interest in heart. And I know for a fact that it's a lot of black coaches in HBCUs that can do just whatever Prime is doing for them children, but they don't have the platform that Prime has.
Right.
on a national stage. And that's what I think is missing. And I heard an interview, I just re-listened to it actually last night, where Prime was talking about what it meant to him to get Eddie Robinson, the Eddie Robinson Award.
Right.
Man, do you know how many men Eddie Robinson said?
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
I mean,
right.
we talk like Murph just said, we talking about outside of sports. I'm talking about in life. These black coaches
right.
taught them kids about life, man. And that just
right.
can't go missing on what Prime is doing with his platform because he doesn't have to do anything what he's doing. And a lot of people miss
right.
him, but he's doing
okay. But look, folks, we're going to keep up on this for the first of the year as we run out of time.
Oh, man,
always. We right here at the end. But I want to thank everybody that was a part of the last Sunday in 2021. We are very optimistic about 2022, and I appreciate everyone for what you've done for the whole year for us here on The World According to Drew. And we're going to come out rocking and socking in 2022, and we do it all at 8 o'clock sharp on the East Coast. So on behalf of Cheryl Smith and our folks, we thank you so much. I'm going to leave you with a little something because it's right on time.